Turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, all right? Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to look at the Beatitudes tonight, and I'm trusting that the Lord's going to direct and help me as I get through this. And so we're finishing up our series on salt and being salty as Christians, all right? And so let's go ahead and look at this passage, and then I'm just going to briefly cover what we've already done, and then we will get to tonight's message, okay? So let's go ahead and look at it. Were you all invited, by the way?
No, we
just decided to come by. Hey, that's wonderful. That's great. That's the best way to come to church right there. That's wonderful.
Good. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hey, well, I'm glad to have y'all. That's wonderful. Amen. That's great. That's great. Come by anytime. All right. Well, let's see here. All right. Let's go ahead and look at all the blesseds, and then I want to just kind of remind you again of why it changes. It says in verse 3 of chapter 5, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, I want you to notice verse 11, all right? It says in verse 11, it changes from "blessed are they" to "blessed are ye," all right? All of a sudden, it starts talking about you. "Blessed are ye when men shall revile and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And then notice he continues talking to you, all right? He says, "ye." All right, now I want to remind you also, this is another reason of using the King James Bible. I love the King James Bible for many reasons. One reason, the translators are honest. If there's a word that they weren't sure but kind of put it in there to expound the scriptures and make more sense of it, they put it in italics. All right, and I like that. All right, for example, the verse concerning spiritual gifts. Gifts is in italics. So you can say concerning spiritual things, brother. All right. You know, so I think that sometimes we get a little bit too focused on the gifts rather than the fact that the Holy Spirit's the one that's working in us. All right. And we definitely don't need to be focusing on that. But notice, all right, now when he says ye, all right, in the New Testament, in the King James Bible, ye is referring to more than one you. Whenever you see thou in the Bible, all right, you know, there are people say, "I don't like all those these and thous and yous and yees." You know, it doesn't make any sense. Well, there's actually a pattern to it. If ever you see thou or thee in the Bible, you're actually seeing one you. All right, that'd be like me talking to Joseph. Thou, all right, thou art the man. All right, things like that. But then if I'm talking to more than one, I say you or ye. Okay. So there's an example, all right? Now, so he's talking and he says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Now, we're going to get to the ugly part of this series, all right? This is part of the series that really kind of gets it down into the nitty-gritty and kind of brings some things out, all right? So let's go ahead and look at first of all right, we have salt as a preserving sustainer, all right? That's the first thing that we looked at. It was a preserving sustainer. Then we looked at, all right, now when I say preserving sustainer, by the way, what I mean by that is that salt is used to preserve things. Salt is used to keep things preserved, to keep things, to save things, all right? We're supposed to be an example. We're supposed to be a testimony to the world. And then number two in our study, salt has a peculiar savor. You're never going to run into a you're never going to run into a person or I'm sorry. You're never going to run into a piece of food that's going to taste like salt. You're not going to say you're not going to look at the salt shakers and the pepper shaker and you're going and the put pepper on there and say, "Hey, that tastes a little bit salty." All right? There is no other taste like salt. It has a peculiar savor to it. It's unlike anything you've ever tasted before. All right? Now, finally, salt can be permanently spoiled. It can be permanently spoiled. All right, now how can it be spoiled? All right, well, you know, when you remember what I said, salt is salt no matter what. All right, sodium chloride, for example. All right, that's what it's called, sodium chloride. Sodium chloride is always going to be. I'm sorry, I'm not used to the walking in and out. I'm just having a hard time keeping focus here. All right, so sodium chloride is what salt is. Once, when you have that combination, sodium chloride, you're never going to be able to take that apart. Amen. Sodium chloride is always going to be sodium chloride no matter what. Amen. And so we have that as the same thing no matter what. You boil it, you crush it, you cook it, whatever, it's always going to be salt. And I'm glad tonight that as the salt of the earth, I'm always going to be salt, no matter what may happen, all right? I may lose my savor, God forbid that that happens, but I'm always going to be sodium chloride, all right? Now, salt can be permanently spoiled. Now, what is it that causes this to happen, all right? Why does salt lose its savor? I did some studying on this to figure out how is it that salt begins to lose its taste? All right, when you put salt in your mouth and it loses its savor, it becomes good for nothing. It becomes worthless. Guys, let's have a word of prayer here, okay? I'm sorry. This is really, the ones visiting, I'm glad y'all are here, but the rest of you know I have a hard time keeping focus.
We were
I'm thrilled you're here.
We wanted to stay for a little while, but we're going to go.
Oh, no, you don't have to go. You can stay here if you want to, but I mean, you're not bothered. I'm apologizing because I can't, I'm used to everybody staying in there. See, I'm like, wow, there's a lot of traffic back there. So I'm just kind of, okay. Well, anyway, I'm glad you came by. Stop by again.
We'll probably be here next Sunday.
Okay, good.
And I just want to let y'all know, this is a very nice church.
Well, thank you.
And yeah, so.
God bless.
God bless you too.
Yes, sir. All right. Yes, thanks for coming. All right. All right, so let's pray, all right? Let's pray real quick, all right? Heavenly Father, I do ask that you would help, Lord, right now. Help me to regain my focus, Lord. I thank you for those kids back there, Father. I hated to see them leave. I hope that I didn't do anything that would cause them to leave. If I did, I pray that you'd forgive me. Father, I'm asking that you would just help me to retain focus. Lord, those kids need to hear the word. And I'm just praying, Father, that you would just help me, Lord, to retain that focus. And I'm praying, Father, that you would just help me to get through this message, Lord. And I thank you for all that you're going to do for us, Lord, tonight. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, I just want to thank the Lord for our young people. You know, the ones that come normally, you guys treat me very well. You really do. I'm so thankful for our own young kids. They're still, you know, it makes me thankful, you know, for the ones that we do have. But I'll tell you what, we really do. I'm going to just stop and say this, all right? What we just witnessed back there is why this church needs revival. Because when this church is in revival, it's going to grip the people who come walking into this church. And it's gonna captivate them, and they're gonna want more of what's being preached. That's why this church needs revival. We need people who are going to come in and the Holy Spirit's working in such a tremendous way that it grips them and gets a hold of them and they walk away changed.
Amen. Amen.
See, that's I'm thankful that that happened because that is a tremendous example of why, one example of why we need revival. Remember what I said, one of the points was souls being saved and people seeing. And, you know, I think that it did impact them. I think it did. But at the same time, I have a burden for the black community. I really do. And I want to see them hear the gospel message here. You know, it's 50-50 in this town. And I want to see the black community receive it just as much as I want to hear the white, as I want the white community to hear it. And, you know, I just was rejoicing to see them back there. But you know what? We have got to pray that God will grip their hearts and get their attention and allow the word of God to penetrate. That's one thing that we need to do. We really do. And I'm weak. Y'all pray for me. I'm weak. I don't have the strength that I need to keep their attention, you know? And, you know, none of us do. Only the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Only the Holy Spirit. So we need to pray about that, all right? All right, so back to what I was saying, all right? Salt can be permanently spoiled. Thank you, Lord, for letting that happen. I thank you, Lord. I think that you kind of helped us to see some things detailing revival. And the Lord has his ways. He's doing some strange things in this church. When I say strange, what I mean is he's working in mysterious ways. There are things that are happening in our church here and there that just they can't be explained. But God is having his way in this church. I don't understand it, but I want him to have his way. And so anyway, let's look, all right? So this is what causes the salt to lose its savor. I did a study, and it's contaminants, things that contaminate the salt. Have you ever looked at a salt shaker and noticed that there is rice in it? All right, rice keeps the moisture out, all right? It keeps bacteria out, keeps molecules out, things like that that are going to spoil the savor, all right? I don't know. How many of you have ever tasted salt that was, I can't think of the word. Yeah, it just didn't have a, it's on the tip of my tongue here. I'm going to say, Blaine. That's the word. Is that what you were saying?
Bland.
It tastes bland. That's the word I was, bland. Thank you, Trell. So, yes, bland. Has anybody ever done that? Anybody ever put, okay. All right. That would be salt that's lost its savor, and chances are it's because it got some contaminants in it. I want to look at these contaminants, all right? Number one, we have molecules of sin. Now, I chose to call it molecules of sin because molecules are small. All right, they're small, they're unnoticed. Here's the thing. We like to focus on the big bad sins.
Yeah.
We like to focus on the dirty language and the adultery and the theft and all these things that go on in the world. And we get so focused on the big black ugly sins that we fail to focus on those little molecular sins. You see what I'm saying? The Bible says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines yield tender grapes, all right? It's necessary that we are careful about our salt not being contaminated by molecules of sin. I'm just going to read a few passages of Scripture. I'm going to have you turn to some. But I want you to listen to this verse. You can write it down, all right? If you're taking notes, I encourage you to take down notes, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6 says this, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" Notice again that he's saying, "Your." Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Ye, you. He's talking to the church as a whole. A little bit of leaven, a little bit of sin is going to leaven the whole church. Yeah. What do I mean by that? It's yeast. Those of you who are not sure what leaven is yeast. All right, you put a little bit of yeast, just a little bit. How many of you make bread? How many of you have made bread? How much yeast does it take to make bread rise? Just a little teeny bit, right? Yeah. So a little leaven just a little bit, leaveneth the whole lump, all right? Now, that's what he's saying here. He's saying, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, all right? Galatians 5:9 says this, a little leaven, here it is again, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. All right, now I want you to look at this verse in particular up here. In Luke chapter 12, it says in verse 1, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is what? Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. All right, now I'm going to point out some more verses. I want us to look at some verses, and as we're looking at them, I want you to stay focused on this. Because we look at Pharisees and we look at what they did and we look at the way that they treated the Lord Jesus. And a lot of times, because we're focused on those bad dudes of the New Testament, you know, that were harassing Jesus and giving Jesus a hard time, we fail to realize that we tend to be Pharisees. We've got to be careful. The Lord Jesus gave us a warning. He said, you might not be a Pharisee, but you'd better beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And I'm going to tell you what it is. It's hypocrisy. Right. All right, now what is hypocrisy? All right, I shared with you already what it was. All right, hypocrisy is acting, pretending to be something that you're not, especially before God. You see, now this is kind of interesting. All right, I'm going to share some verses with you about what Jesus says to the Pharisees several times. All right, but if people were to come in, all right, let's just say that somebody comes in, and I mean, they are dressed the part, and you know exactly what they are, all right? We'll say a guy comes in, and you can just tell, all right? Alicia is a nurse. Jonathan, I'm sure he's familiar with a lot of medical things. My wife is, all right? He comes in, and they look at their arms, and they come up to me immediately, and they say, hey, I want to warn you, that guy's a heroin addict. You can just tell by the way his arms look. Y'all have dealt with heroin addicts before, I'm sure, so you know what that looks like. It's an outward thing, and I say, praise God. There's someone here who's looking for something, trying to escape that terrible addiction. Praise the Lord, all right? But then you have another person who comes in, and he's dressed up in a three-piece suit. He looks really sharp, all right? Looks good, smells good, acts good. But on the inside, he's got sin that nobody knows about. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. You see the guy that comes down and he's a heroin addict and he comes down and he's broken over it. It doesn't matter what he looks like. He wants God. Yeah, but then you've got the guy who comes in and he looks good. He acts good. He's a good Christian man, but inwardly, he's got some struggles that he doesn't want anybody to know about. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you have any leaven inside of you, God knows about it. And not only that, but he says, if you don't deal with that sin, I'm going to come and deal with it with the sword of my mouth. Every now and then, the pastor's going to preach some things that are going to make you go, ow, what in the world's wrong with him? And it's because the Lord Jesus is coming down and he's saying, I've had enough. This is my church. That's what the Lord's saying, see? All right, but you have him coming down. He says, I'm going to fight you with the sword of my mouth if you don't take care of this problem. I have a few things against you. That's probably going to happen to a few more of those. Okay, I put liquid nails on there, and apparently it's not fully dry, so we may lose the last two here, all right? So it's only going to happen two more times, so don't worry. All right, anyway. All right, everybody pay attention again, all right? I did it because I was trying to make my wife happy. I know I'm going to blame it on you, right? What do we do? Throw them under the bus? All right. So the leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy. That's pretending to be something that you're not. But the fact is that God does know. Now, I'm going to show you some things, all right? I want you to notice what the Lord Jesus says to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23. Look there, if you would, please. Matthew 23, and I want us to start with verse 12, all right? He really lays it hard on the Pharisees, all right? In Matthew chapter 23, and it says in verse 12, All right, notice, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And now notice, verse 13, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. What does he say? Hypocrites. All right, remember what I said. Look what it says. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering in to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying you are a thief inwardly. You know that you're using extortion against people, and yet in church you're praying these long prayers. All right, he's calling them hypocrites. Whoa, he's saying, I know about you guys. He's saying, you guys don't fool me. In verse 15, he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whomsoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. All right, now, let's go ahead and go down to verse 23, okay? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe and mint and anise cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. All right, and then verse 25, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying, you make yourself look good on the outside, but I know exactly what's on the inside. And you see, the thing is it's not for you to try and dress up and make yourself look good for the preacher. It's not for you to dress up and look good and make yourself look good in church. That's not what church is all about, folks. Church is about coming and getting healed. Church is about coming and being restored. If you were what you're pretending to be, you wouldn't need to go to church. You need to go to church because we need constant restoration. That's why we go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We need constant restoration all throughout the week. Amen. You know, I like the song that says day by day, but I prefer moment by moment.
Right.
Because moment by moment, I tend to drift. That's how wicked a sinner I am. But praise God, he draws me nearer. Amen. Nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. And I thank God for that. Matthew 21, look there, okay? Matthew 21. Now, I want you to notice something interesting that he says, all right? Notice, all right, he gave the description of the Pharisees. He said, your problem is that outwardly you make yourself look good, but inwardly you're full of filth. And I know about it. That's what he's saying. Now, notice what it says. I like this, all right? In Matthew 21, all right, and look at verse 28. It says this. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not, but afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, notice his answer, all right? Now, before I give the answer, I want you to, all right, just so that you're not lost. One son, he said, I want you to go to work. He said, no way, I'm not going to do it. He just completely rebelled. But then later on, he goes, Dad, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I'm going to go do it. And he does it. Then the other son, he says, hey, son, I want you to go take out the trash. And he goes, okay, I'll do it. And he doesn't ever get around to it. He doesn't do it. Which one is the more righteous? The one who took out the trash, right? Even though he said, I'm going to do it. You know what? There's a lot. What did he say? If he says, I'm going to do it, and he didn't do it, what is that? A lie. A lie. Now, rebellion is very outward. Rebellion is very outward. Rebellion, Harrison, listen up here, okay? Rebellion is very outward. Lying, there are times where I could lie to you and you wouldn't even know it. You see what I'm saying? And so notice what his answer is, all right? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, they said, basically what they said was, the guy who rebelled and then said, I'm sorry. That's the guy that was more righteous. Then notice what Jesus says. Verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Why is that? It's because they're focused on the things that men can see, but they're not focusing on the things that God can see. It starts with idolatry, and it ends with covetousness in the Ten Commandments. It begins with an inward worship. I don't know if any of you woke up this morning and the first thing that was on your mind was God. Now, you can tell me all you want to, that God was the very first thing that I thought about. All right? But I'm not going to know whether you're telling the truth or not. That's between you and God.
Yeah.
Now, if you went out and murdered somebody, I would know that. All right? But then if you covet after after things that I have, I'm not going to know. There are some times where I have my suspicions that there are people who covet after me, but I'm not even sure if that's really true. I can never, ever cast a judgment on anyone who is coveting after my life or coveting after the things that I have. I can't ever cast that judgment. Why? Because I don't know what's inward.
That's right.
But the thing about it is that there are lots of people who say, I do this and I do that and all these things that I'm doing, these make God happy, but they don't ever take time to focus on the small little issues. That's why the Bible says this. It says, why beholdest thou the beam, right, which is a big, huge log? Why do you behold the beam that is in your brother's eye and you have this little thorn or a little piece of dust in your own eye? He says, hypocrite. First, take out the mote, take out that piece of dust out of your eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the beam out of your brother's eye. What he's saying is this. He's saying, you're focused on the big, bad, ugly sins, but I'm going to tell you something right now, hypocrite. I got a problem with the little bitty molecules. I got a problem with the things that take the savor of your salt away. You can't see them. What would you think if you came to my house? All right, and I put down this, I mean, the silverware was absolutely shiny and sparkly, all right? The plates were shiny and everything. And after you're done eating, we somehow get to talking, and you say, well, look, I'd like to take the dishes and put them into the dishwasher. Can I do that for you? And I say, oh, that's fine. You just put them in the sink. And then you notice, as you're still talking with me, that I take those plates and I put them underwater, wipe all that food off, and then I put it up in the cupboard. What are you going to think about that? Yeah. But they look good. They're clean. They're shiny. They're sparkly. But what's the matter? There's little parasites on it. There's germs that you can't see. It's not the dirt that makes you sick. It's the germs you can't see that make you sick. That's the problem. That's why we've got the molecules of sin that are causing our savor to leave us, all right? So I want us to listen to this, all right? In Matthew 13:33, it says, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All right, now, he's actually talking about, we'll say, Christendom, all right? We're gonna say that, all right, basically it's all of Christendom, all right? Where the seed was the disciples getting it started, and then all of Christendom, all right, the universal church, all right? And this lady puts in just a little bit of leaven into three measures of meal, all right? Now, where in the world do they get that? Well, if you go back to Genesis, let's go there. Genesis chapter 18, all right? Remember, it said that it's like a woman, all right? It says, leaven which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Look at Genesis 18. Some of you may have heard of the law of first mention. I don't know how true that is, all right? But I am going to say it's very interesting comparison, because what is the leaven of the Pharisees? Hypocrisy. All right, now notice what it says right here, all right? This is the encounter that Abraham had with God. Look what it says. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, 3 men. Three, there it is again, 3, stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. Isn't that interesting? Look, let me read that verse to you again, all right, in Matthew. All right, it says, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. That's what it says in Luke. And here we see a woman, Sarah, preparing 3 measures of fine meal, all right? He said, knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself. She didn't laugh out loud. She was doing the work. She was getting the bread ready, and he said, You're going to have a kid. And she's like, you know, she's going to be respectful, all right? She's going to be she's going to be the wife that Abraham needs. She's not going to embarrass him. She's quiet. She doesn't laugh out loud, but she did in her heart. That's it. That's what it says, doesn't it? Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh? All right, why? That's what wherefore means. Why did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I have a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now here's the hypocrisy. Notice. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not. I didn't laugh. All right? You know, there are times when the pastor is preaching, and he's not necessarily after you, but sometimes you think he is. And you're like, all right? But the Holy Spirit's really the one that's going, you. You know, I've heard Aaron say, I point my finger, but I've got 3 pointing back at me. Well, that's probably true, but I'm going to tell you something right now. The Holy Spirit ain't got any fingers. He's just pointing at you. See what I'm saying? If the Holy Spirit is getting at you, then stop resisting him and turn around and start following him. Amen. Turn unto me and I'll turn unto you, the Bible says. She says, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. He's saying, Yeah, you did. You laughed. Look, I'm not trying to say that I'm some kind of a Sherlock Holmes or anything like that, but as the pastor, the overseer of the church, God has given me a special nose. He's given me the ability to smell a rat, all right? Now, sometimes smelling a rat, I go, oh, this is a situation where I just can't blatantly open, wide open, just go after them. But at the same time, I can still smell a rat. And I'm not saying you're a rat. I'm saying rats like to hang around sin, right? They like to hang around dirt. But what I'm saying is that The pastor needs to recognize these types of things, all right? It's necessary in order for us to see revival. Sin ultimately hinges on unbelief as Christians.
Yeah.
Do you realize that? Yeah. If you truly believed God, if you truly recognized who he was and that he was on the throne, if he was on the right hand of God the Father, if you realized that Jesus was there, if you truly realized that he was Lord over your life, then you wouldn't be doing this. You wouldn't be grasping a hold of things that you know you shouldn't be doing. You see, all sin hinges on unbelief.
Yeah.
The very sin that's going to take anyone to hell that's lost is unbelief.
That's right.
But you know what? It's a great sin. The Bible says that whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Right.
That's what it says, all right? The plowing of the wicked is sin. That means he could be doing something good, but it's sin because he doesn't believe, all right? So, Jonathan used 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 to 5 this morning, all right? He said this, he said, it says in that passage, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world.
Amen.
Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Are you born again?
Yes.
All right? If you're born again, you overcome the world. Amen. All right, now, I thought it was interesting the way that it worded it after that. It said, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our
faith.
Right. Good job, guys. All right, now, let's just say that you are this amazing warrior. All right? And, let's just say a businessman. And you are just absolutely successful. You make millions of dollars. I'm also a businessman, but I am a failure. And I come up to you as a businessman or a businesswoman, and I say, what's your secret? Right? I'm sure Joe's had people ask him, what's your secret in selling cars? I mean, for some reason, I mean, you just knock them right off, man. Right? I'm sure you've had somebody ask you that, right? What's your secret, Joe? Come on, tell me. Let me have it, all right? You know what? Have you ever asked a woman, what's your secret to this wonderful recipe? All right? And they say, sorry, I can't give that to you. I hate it when they do that, right? I'm sorry, that's a family secret, all right? Well, you know what? That's what this is saying, all right? Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Oh, really? What's the secret? Well, here it is. This is the secret, or this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Well, how do you do it? How do you get victory? What's the secret? Oh, I just believe God.
Amen. Amen.
Faith. Amen. Faith, all right? So, ye are the salt of the earth. And if you are the salt of the earth, we've got to watch out for the molecules of sin. Some of you deal with pride. Some of you, look, it's easy. This happened. I don't know if this is going on in the church, all right, but I'm just going to go ahead and hit on it, all right? We've got men especially. They can be competitive, all right? When it comes to pride, sometimes we're like, what, does he not think that I know anything? what is he trying to teach me something? I already know all the answers. That's pride, all right? I don't know if there's anybody like that, all right? If there is, you guys are pretty good hypocrites. All right, what do I mean by hypocrite? What is it? What's a hypocrite? An actor, right? Hey, you deserve the Academy Award, because I don't get it, I'm not following you, right? I don't know. I'm not going to tell you if I do or not, okay? But I am saying this, that we have got to be careful about the little molecular problems.
Right.
I'm talking about the things that none of us, none of the rest of the church recognizes. Do you know why? Because if you get a little bit of contaminant in your one little grain, the rest of us are.
Yeah.
Ye are the salt of the earth. We're all in the salt shaker. You see what I'm saying? We're all together in the salt shaker, and if you get a little bit of contamination, the rest of us will. All right, now, I got to move on. All right, so here we go, the meshes of self. All right, now when I say the meshes of self, all right, have you ever tried to shake salt out of a salt shaker and it's all clumped together, and you're like, oh, man. And then you take the top off and you're trying to shake it out, and there's this big clump. And then you try to stick a little knife up there, and then it all comes out on the plate. You know, you ever been there before? You know, they're like little rocks and they're all stuck together. All right. That would be the meshes of self. All right. Well, the Bible says in James 4:8, all right, it says this. You don't have to turn there. Okay. Draw nigh to God. I think it's up here, isn't it? Maybe not. No, it's not. Okay. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. All right. You remember that? All right. Turn to me and I'll turn to you. All right. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. All right, Zechariah 1:3, I think that's Zechariah 1:3. And then it says in other passages, all right, return unto me, and I'll return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Right, and then it says, when he's talking to Asa, he says, if you turn to me, I'll turn to you, all right? Or if he says, if you be with me, I'll be with you. He says, and if you seek me, you'll find me. He says, but if you forsake me, I will forsake you. That's what he said to Asa, didn't he?
Yeah.
All right. So we see it right here. Now, how in the world do we draw nigh to God? All right. Well, it says it very clearly right here in James 4:8. It says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And here's how. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. All right. We already covered that. By the way, when I, I'm going to be a little bit gross, okay? Can I be a little gross? All right. When I walk out of the bathroom, you guys don't know if I'm washing my hands or not. Right?
Right.
I'm in the bathroom, and you know what? Sometimes there are some guys, I've known some guys that just turn on the water and make it look like they're washing their hands because they know everybody else will be like, ew.
Yeah.
All right? I like using soap.
Amen.
I like it when my hands are clean. But you know what? If I don't use soap, my hands are going to look the same. But you know what? It could be I'm carrying pink eye on it.
Yeah.
Right? But you don't see that stuff. It's not like I walk out of the bathroom and you guys are like, oh, you need to wash your hands. Right? Never had that problem before. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Wash the inside, the part that I can see, the part that makes the outside so ugly.
Amen.
And then it says, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. That's interesting. Self gets in the way. Self gets meshed up with what we're supposed to be. It starts getting together. It starts getting in the way. Self, all right? Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. What that means is this. This is what happens. We get to be like Peter. Pastor keeps talking about all this stuff. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with me here. I mean, you know, I've been going to church faithfully, and, you know, I don't steal, I don't drink, I don't do all this stuff, and, I don't cuss, you know. And then you go on and you say, well, I'm okay. But you know what? It's important that you say, Lord, what do you think?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something right now. He will show you.
Amen.
He will show you. There have been things. I'm going to tell you one thing. I asked the Lord to show me some of the problems that I have, and He gave me a trailer to tear up. It's still not done yet. My body's aching from it. All right, I've been getting plenty of exercise, but I'm telling you what, I'm getting tired.
Yeah.
I'm ready for this thing to be gone. I'll tell you, it's really been trying me. There's been, you know, I posted something on Facebook. Some of you guys, I'm sure you saw it, Joseph. Those of you who are on Facebook, you saw it. I took a picture. Maurice is in the background, and I got this face like this. You know, and it says, I got a little bit angry. Maurice was there to calm me down. That's what it says on the post. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. There have been a few times. Look, you want to know what that trailer, I probably shouldn't even say it because that's my own personal battle. But that trailer has brought out some thoughts in my brain that the Lord needed to confront with me. And He said, Mike, I want to show you some problems that you got. You are remembering. And I'm like, Lord, I forgave all that stuff, you know. And the Lord said, no, you haven't. No, you haven't. You guys know what I'm talking about,
yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Those of you who have been working with me out there, you've heard me say this a couple times. I'm taking my anger out on this thing a little bit. Remember that? That's what the Lord's been dealing with me about. I'm just giving you a personal example. You didn't know that I had that. Hey, I just confessed it to you. Y'all pray for me. Lord gave me other people in my life that you know about. Why? Because I asked the Lord to show me, Lord, what are some things that I'm struggling with that I don't even know about? And the Lord said, okay, I'll show you. I'm going to tell you something. It's painful. But you know what? The Lord is purging. Jonathan said in his message. He said, the more you put gold in the fire, the more contaminants that come up. You put it in the fire one time, you're going to get plenty of contaminants, and you go, oh, I think we're done. No. The Bible says that it says gold tried in the fire, purified seven times. You put it in the fire one time, and you get all this mess coming up, and you're like, wow, boy, that was a lot of stuff. And the Lord says, I'm not done yet. He puts you in the fire a second time. And more stuff comes out of you. He puts you in the fire the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, the sixth time. By the sixth time, you're like, are we ever going to be done? And the Lord says, oh, we've got a long way to go.
Yeah.
But oh, the more that he purifies me, the closer I get to him. Do you really mean the words, just a closer walk with thee, when you sing that song? Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Oh, really? You want a closer walk with me? Might hurt a little bit, but I'll grant it.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you some stuff you're not going to like. You get closer. When you get closer to the Lord, I'm going to be honest with you. The Lord got me so close to him, I wasn't even sure if I was saved. Now, that was before I really began to understand revival truth and things like that. But when I finally began to understand Bible truth, I said, that's what's wrong. I am saved. It's just that I'm getting too close to you. Well, you can never get too close to the Lord. But my sin was saying, myself was saying, self, you're getting too close to God. Back away. You know, I want some of the glory. That's self, all right? Self. James 1, look what it says up here, all right? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, the trying of your what?
Faith.
All right, there it is. You're put in the fire. The trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in what?
Faith.
Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. What does it say? A double-minded man is what?
Unstable.
In all his ways. Unstable in all his ways. All right, here's the thing, all right? Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. What that means is this, all right? When you ask God for wisdom, you don't say, Lord, I need a little bit of help. I think I've got it under control. But if you could just kind of help me fix some of the little gaps that I can't figure out, I think I'll be okay. The Lord says, no. He says, you need to tell me that you have no idea what to do.
Right.
You know when it says, if any of you lack, when you look up that word lack, do you know what it means? It means you have 0% of an idea of what to do. You go to the Lord and you say, I have no idea how to fix the problem. Actually, I do have 100% idea. It's you.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
Peter goes, oh, I'd never deny you. Peter was getting in the way. Peter was double-minded. I hate to say that. Peter was a good man. But you know what? He was a failure before the Holy Spirit came down on him.
Yeah.
But boy, when the Holy Spirit came down on him, what a mighty man he was. Amen? All right. I'm going to I can't fly. Honey, I'm sorry. My wife said, Mike, you need to just stop. All right? I can just hear it right now. Save that point for later. All right? Because I know you're tired. All right? Just hold on to those points. All right? We'll get to this last one the next time, which is the moisture of scars. I think that pretty much explains itself, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Scars, memories, things that have happened to you in the past.
Yeah.
If you know of anybody who is always asking, why would God let this happen? Why would God do that? You'll also notice that they always talk about the past. And they repeat the same story again and again and again. It's the past. Forget those things. Press forward. Press on. Father, I thank you so much for these dear people. Thank you for the young ones that came in, Father. They need the Lord. I pray they'd be saved. Lord, I if there was anything that I did to cause them to leave, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. Father, you chose to give me that infirmity of distraction. You chose to allow me to have it. And I thank you, Father, that your strength is made perfect in weakness. Father, I do pray that those kids would be saved. I'm praying, Father, that our church would be revived. So that when people will come in, that the Holy Spirit will do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. That's why we need the working of the Holy Spirit. We need him to do phenomenal things. Help us, Father. It's in the name of Jesus we ask all these things. Amen. All right, thank you for coming. Make sure you